Well, my guest has 25 years experience as an ER physician. We've all seen the television programs and think we have some idea what goes on there. But Dr. Leslie shares some inspiring true stories of courage and faith and hope and compassion and miracles in the emergency room. Dr. Leslie, in his book, Angels in the ER, reveals lessons that we can learn in the midst of a crisis and assurance that God works in every situation, even in the ER, so some surprising insights into human nature and evidence of the divine in daily life. Well, Dr. Leslie explains the ER is a great leveler of personages. What lessons can we learn in the situations where our strength and weakness are openly and sometimes uncomfortably exposed? Well, his book talks about that as well. Well, Dr. Robert Leslie is a physician. He lives and actively practices medicine in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He's board certified in both emergency medicine and occupational medicine, and he's the co-owner of two busy urgent care occupational clinics. For more than 25 years, Dr. Leslie worked in and directed several of the busiest ERs in Charlotte, North Carolina area. He also served as medical director of the emergency department for almost 15 years at Rock Hill General Hospital. He joins us today to talk about his fascinating book, Angels in the ER, Inspiring Stories from an Emergency Room Doctor. Dr. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Georgine, thank you for having me. This is really an honor.
Well, you know, it's always fascinating to me to consider the choice that some MDs make to work in the ER. That seems to me like one of the most challenging, difficult, and emotionally draining places one might choose to practice medicine. What inspired you to choose that particular area of service?
Well, it is a challenging place to work, and early in my career, I thought I wanted to be a pediatrician. And then after spending some time in residency in pediatrics, I decided that's not what I wanted to do. I had an opportunity to work in a busy emergency room in Greenville, South Carolina for a period of time, for 6 months or so, and it was obvious that that was meant for me. It was just a natural fit. When I look back on it, I can't even imagine doing anything different. The fast pace, making a quick and hopefully accurate diagnosis, stepping in and really helping people in a very trying circumstance, that was always very rewarding for me, and it was just a natural fit.
You know, these days there are entertainment programs like the television program ER. There are also shows on the cable stations that feature real stories as they're developing. How accurate are our impressions of what goes on in the ER based on entertainment and other media that cover such medical treatments?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't. I find it hard to sit down and watch those shows because I've lived that for 25 years, and they are pretty accurate in most regards. Now, even the very busiest emergency rooms is not nonstop action. It's not nonstop gunshots or stab wounds or heart attacks, and there are a lot of simple things that come in and sort of amusing and unusual things that come through the doors, but on the television, those are pretty reasonable reenactments of some of the more dramatic episodes that we see.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title of your book, Angels in the ER, is an interesting title. Explain what you mean by that and how this book really reflects some of the inspirational and surprising stories that unfold there.
Well, the very last paragraph of the book is a quotation from Thomas Aquinas. And I like to read it. We are like children who stand in the need of masters to enlighten us and to direct us. And God has provided for this by appointing his angels to be our teachers and our guides. And as I look back on my 25 years in emergency medicine and practicing in the ER, there's been no question in my mind that there have been angels that indeed have instructed and taught me and have been there to help me. And some of them, a few were doctors, a lot of them were nurses, but most of them were patients and their family members, and some, in fact, were supernatural. There were instances where a force beyond my knowledge guided me and helped me. So this book presents actual experiences in patients that demonstrate this interaction, I think, the experiences that I have had with these angels.
Mm. Now, what are some of your favorite characters and stories from your years in the ER?
Well, interestingly, some of my more favorite and memorable characters have been what we call our ER regulars, people who come to the ER on a regular basis.
That seems to me a place you wouldn't want to come regularly.
Well, that's a point well taken. Some of these people, in one of my early chapters, Slim comes into the ER on a regular basis complaining usually of abdominal pain. And really what he wants is to get something to eat, but also he wants some human contact. He lives on the street, has no family, and really nobody to turn to and to show him any kindness. And over the years, the staff really became attached to Slim, and he would come in complaining of abdominal pain. We'd check him quickly to make sure he didn't have any fever or any physical signs, and we'd say, okay, Slim, let's get you something to eat. And we'd get him a tray, and his pain is gone. And then he'd want to talk a little while, then he'd say, Dr. Lift, I'm ready to leave. Especially around the holidays, we'd see Slim. So Slim was one of my favorite characters. There's also a lady in the book called Mary, who was an elderly lady with asthma. And she was one of the most endearing people that you could ever hope to meet. She would come in having an asthmatic attack, sometimes very severe, and she was taking care of two young grandchildren by herself. And this lady was, I think, 70 years old and really struggling, but had a beautiful spirit, clearly demonstrated, and when her grandchildren were with her, she just absolutely lit up. But she would come in with significant medical problems, but then we usually get her turned around pretty quickly, get her better, and she was a delight. She was one of my favorite characters.
Hmm.
And then some of the staff that we worked with, some of our nurses that are presented in the book.
How has your faith impacted your practice as an emergency room physician?
Well, my faith is absolute a part of just about every encounter, every circumstance that you have in the certainly in life, but also in the ER. It's my Christian faith is a life view, not to be trite. It's a worldview also. How do we view people? How do we interact with them? And certainly in the emergency room, how you view your fellow man can be sorely tested at times. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of overlooking some behavioral problems. But that to me is certainly a spiritual issue. And then at times when you've done what you can for a person from a physical standpoint, and obviously people have emotional and really, really spiritual needs, what can you do to minister to those people? And you can't minister to everybody, and there has to be an openness and a receptiveness, and sometimes the pace is too brisk to be able to do that. But one of the patients that I present is a gentleman with heart disease that is not treatable. He's at the end of his rope, and he and his wife are in the emergency department. There's nothing further that I can do for him or his cardiologist or anything of that nature. And that's an opportunity to sit back and say, what can I do for this man, for this couple? And then allow them to be together, sort of against hospital policy. You know, we needed to make some kind of disposition and do something with him, move him upstairs. But that's not what needed to happen in that circumstance. Those are some examples of how my faith impacts my medical practice.
Mm-hmm. Has your faith ever presented a problem for you in the ER?
It has. Sometimes you want to step in, and when you see clearly spiritual issues, people fighting either real or imagined demons, and you know the problem that someone is having. And you know that it is a spiritual problem, but they're not interested or willing to listen. Now, things have changed over the last 25 years, as you know, that with the HIPAA legislation and now that you have to be politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, 25 years ago, I never stood up on a soapbox, but if I had an opportunity to speak to people, it was a lot easier to speak to people then. And as the years have gone by, I remember one circumstance. I was talking to a gentleman, And we were discussing, he was a Christian, and we were talking about his faith, and he had a, I can't remember his illness, but it was significant, and his daughter came in and listened for about a minute and pulled me in the hall and said, "I don't want you talking to Daddy about that because he gets upset." Well, he wasn't getting upset. She was getting upset.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want me talking to him about his faith or my faith. You know, you're a doctor. You take care of, you know, his physical needs, and don't get him upset. And then the threat is, you know, we're going to go, we'll call the hospital administrator. And so that never bothered me, but that's a threat that is always, you know, put out there that, you know, you're going to do, tell you, or something's going to happen.
Yeah, finding that that balance. We're going to take a quick break, but we will continue our conversation with Dr. Robert Leslie. He's the author of Angels in the ER. It is an interesting collection of true stories from an emergency room doctor and things that happen in the brisk pace of that kind of medical care. We'll be back to continue our conversation. We also have, courtesy of Harvest House, one copy of the book to give away. So we'll give that to caller number 5. Again, the book, Angels in the ER, and our telephone number, 1-800-845-2162. 800-845-2162.
KPDQ-FM.
This traffic report is brought to you by the University of Phoenix. It's slow 205 northbound from the Tualatin River Bridge to 10th Street, again from Oddie Road to Johnson Creek, and then I-84 to Airport Way. Banfield's slow most of the way out now between I-5 and 205 northbound. Heading to Vancouver, lines up I-5 northbound, Lombard up to the Interstate Bridge. Sunset inbound is slow from the PGE Park exit to the tunnel. Learn about becoming a teacher with the University of Phoenix's Master's in Education program. Visit a local Portland area location, call 503-495-2900, or visit phoenix.edu.
93.9 KPDQ-FM.
This summer's biggest free event is almost here. Will you be there? Portland City Fest with Luis Palau, Friday and Saturday, August 22nd and 23rd at Waterfront Park in downtown Portland.
Catch live music from Toby Mann.
Chris Tomlin. Phil Stacey.
If you didn't love,
Mercy Beat, Cutlass, Kirk Franklin, and several others. But music is only the beginning. Experience world-class BMX demos, freestyle motocross, X Games gold medalist Kyle Loza, and a premier skate park featuring skate legend Christian Hasoy.
There's fun and entertainment for all ages, including the Family Fun Zone, hosted by Bob and Larry from VeggieTales.
Did we mention this event is free?
Access all the details right now at PortlandCityFest.com or text the word CityFest to 83361.
Sponsored by EcoMotion and Stonebridge Homes, Multnomah University, and Medical Teams International.
Investors, are you worried about record oil prices, inflation, falling housing prices? How do you protect you and your family against recession or inflation? Now's the time to consider an investment in gold. I'm Mark Albarian, president of Goldline, a precious metals industry leader since 1960. Help protect your family's financial future by calling 877-99-MY-GOLD to receive a free gold investor's kit. Gold has gained an average of over 20% per year since 2001. Some experts believe rising oil prices and inflation will send gold to new record highs. With as little as $1,000, you can add physical gold to your portfolio. Help diversify your investments and get protection in today's unstable economy. Call 877-99-MY-GOLD today, and we'll send you a free gold investor's kit and DVD with free shipping on your first order. Call Goldline right now at 877-99-MY-GOLD. That's 877-99-MY-GOLD.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Online legal websites can be a nightmare, and going to an attorney is going to cost you.
Financial expert Ray Lucia on LegalZoom.com. His choice for wills, trust, corporations, basically all legal documents.
Brilliant legal documents and real people to help, all at a fraction of the cost of going to an attorney.
LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and get a special discount by typing bonus in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
Truth for Life. Truth for Life with Alistair Begg at 10 each weekday morning on 93.9. On 93.9 KPDQ FM.
We're back, 93.9 KPDQ FM. We're talking this afternoon with Dr. Robert Leslie. He's the author of Angels in the ER, Inspiring True Stories from an Emergency Room Doctor. He has served in that capacity for the past 25 years, working in or directing fast-paced, intense ER environments. He's currently the co-owner and medical director of an urgent care facility. And for more than a decade, he's written newspaper and magazine columns and human interest stories as well. He and his wife live in South Carolina, and he joins us today to talk about some of those interesting stories from the emergency room. Well, tell us about the most troubling encounter that you've had in an emergency room.
Well, Georgine, I think for me and for almost anybody who works in an emergency room, dealing with injured or severely ill young people and children is always very troubling. And if you compound that with evidence of abuse, then it really is becomes very troubling, and that's there's a case that I present in the book, I think in the chapter All God's Children, and there is a child that's brought in that has that is dead on arrival, and this child was a victim of the shaken baby syndrome that we now recognize that you can make determinations of with by examining the child. And it came about when the boyfriend was tired of listening to this child cry. I think he was a year and a half old, and the boyfriend repeatedly shook the baby in anger, and finally the child became unconscious, and the mother finally intervened, and they called 911, and when they came, by the time they came to the emergency room, the child was obviously dead. And even then, the mother continued to try to protect the boyfriend until finally, I had my diagnosis and I said, "Now this is what's happened. So tell me about it." And she broke down and told me. And the boyfriend, I think, slipped out of the room. And but those circumstances are very troubling when you deal with the severe injury or the death of a young child needlessly. Then we are all bothered by that.
Mm-hmm. What was the most humbling event in your career as a ER physician?
Well, I think anytime you make a mistake, it humbles you. You realize that you're just like everybody else, and as soon as you think that you're immune to making mistakes, then that's when you're going to step into a hole or pit or something. I had a gentleman that came in complaining of leg pain, and he was a large fella, and he was sitting on the stretcher. It was a really busy night, and I remember exactly where we were sitting in the emergency room, and I walked over to him and talked to him and examined him, and he seemed to be fine. He said, "Yeah, my legs, I was pushing something out in the driveway, my car, moving it out of the way. I didn't want to go inside to get the keys, so I just pushed it out of the way. And I felt some pain in my legs." And it didn't make much sense to me. It certainly didn't sound very exciting. I looked at him and checked him, I thought, adequately. He was large, and he had big thighs and big legs and seemed to be okay. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what let's do. I'll get you a little something for pain." And then obviously didn't have anything broken. And then as I turned around, and this is one of those instances of divine intervention, something told me to go back to him and to just check him a little bit further. And when I did, I went back and I checked, I asked him to pull his feet up against my hands, And then I realized that he had ruptured the quadricep tendons, the tendons right above the knee, so he could not straighten his legs out. And I said, we're going to think about this a little bit more. And ultimately, he went to the operating room. Now, that was humbling for me on several scores. Number one, it made me sit back and realize I needed to take my time and to pay more attention, but also that I certainly was not fallible and, you know, and was going to make a mistake if I was not careful. The other, one of the cases in the book that humbled me had to do with with our regular Slim Grant that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Slim Brantley. And that had to do with the nurse, Lori Davidson, and at the end of one of his visits, she was cleaning him up. Slim was a mess, and he was tall, lanky, and again, he was homeless. Didn't smell very good, and as you can imagine, and I'll never forget walking by that room and looking in, and Lori, our nurse, was cleaning him very gently. Didn't need to be doing this. This was not required. She was going beyond the call of duty, and that was a very humbling experience for me to see really sacrificial service in action. But there have been many cases, many instances where I've witnessed that and been humbled by someone else's service.
Now, the title of the book, and you've just given an example of one, is Angels in the ER. Give us some examples of where you have either seen or had an unseen hand move on behalf of a patient or in a way that inspired you to write these stories.
One of my favorite stories has to do with our dachshund puppy, little girl dachshund who's going to have puppies. And we had her on the back porch, and she was in labor. We talked to the vet, and the vet was telling me what to do. First time she'd ever had a litter. And right off, leading onto the back porch, were these French doors, and my four children, aged 2 to 8, I think, had their faces pressed to the window panes, and my wife was standing behind them, and my dog, Scooter, started delivering puppies. The first one was born, delivered, and she licked and nosed and tried to stimulate the puppy and sort of got tired and laid back down, and the puppy was stillborn. And I remember looking up at my children's faces, and their eyes were big. They weren't sure what was going on, but I looked at my wife, and she knew what was going on. So I called the vet, and the vet said, well, the doctors don't do, that she's going to have several stillborns. And I said, well, what do I do? And she said, nothing. You just see what happens. The next one was born the same way. And Scooter nuzzled the pup and did what she instinctively knew to do, but then sort of lay back down. I looked at my children. I looked at that puppy, and the membranes on the puppy were still intact. So I pulled the membranes away, sucked the dog's nose out, and started doing CPR on this little tiny pup. And after, a minute, all of a sudden this dog took a breath and was squirming around and was alive. And I looked in those French doors, and my kids, I'll never forget the look on their face, on their faces when they saw this happen. And, I was Superman. And so she had a couple more like that I resuscitated. I called the vet and said, you don't know what you're talking about. And but I think 2 or 3 weeks later, I was in the emergency room, and it was late at night, and one of my best nurses went out to triage to bring a lady in, and she said, Dr. Leslie, come here quick. And it was a young Asian girl who was obviously pregnant, and the nurse said, she's delivering. Well, normally we would send these people upstairs to labor and delivery. You have a few minutes, you get them upstairs where all the equipment is, and the nurse said, Dr. Leslie, we don't have time. And she put on a stretcher, and indeed, the baby was crowning. And this girl was very stoic. She looked at me and smiled, never uttered a sound, never cried out. And I said, well, you're right. So we delivered that baby. I mean, that baby didn't take a whole lot of effort on our part. And when the child was born, when the child was delivered, it was a little girl, and she had intact membranes. The amniotic sac was intact, and it's called a veiled infant. And supposedly, these children have some clairvoyant powers. That's an old wives' tale. But the membranes were intact, and the nurse looked at that baby and said, what in the world is that? Because here was a baby covered in amniotic membranes, obviously could not breathe. And I said, I know what to do now. Give me a blade. And I, you know, it was I cut the amniotic sac. We sucked the baby's nose out. She did great. Now, some people would call that coincidence, but that clearly, to me, was divine intervention. I had been shown what to do with those puppies, by dealing with those puppies. And when this girl came in and needed my help, I knew what to do. And I've talked to obstetricians. This is a very rare occurrence, one in thousands of births. Some OB doctors don't ever see this. But to know what to do, to me, there was an angel on my shoulder. There was an angel on my shoulder on the back porch saying, but I didn't know it, but it was saying, you're going to need to know how to do this in about 2 weeks, Robert. For me, that was a clear intervention. And a clear... It's what Thomas Aquinas refers to as a teacher and a guide.
Well, the book is filled with inspiring true stories from emergency rooms. The book, Angels in the ER, Dr. Robert Leslie, thank you so much for talking with us this evening.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
God bless you in your work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The book is published by Harvest House, currently available in bookstores.